I'd simply like to state that I came here today somewhat out of a sense of obligation to my meeting. I did not expect to be challenged fundamentally.
One of the teachings that came out of our gathering of people who had lost loved ones to murder and was this struggling with forgiveness, which of course, you know, you say it's a fundamental step in a healing process is forgiveness, but it's so tied into a dyad. You know, I have to forgive the person who did something wrong to me. And these families said, no, it's not even about that. The more profound harm is that the bad thing happened, that this happened in my life to my family. I believe that the world was good. I believe that, you know, I was in relationship, and then the unimaginable breaking took place. I have to forgive that this thing happened. I have to figure out a way to forgive that this thing happened. Otherwise, moving on with my life is going to be very hard. And so just making that shift opened the door. Because once you get out of thinking that it's about the person who did the harm, you can look at forgiveness as creating that balance and that right relationship between you and all that surrounds you. And then once that happens, you can begin to take other steps that take you further along your healing process. And I, you know, this really resonated with me because on a huge level, this is the crossroads that we as Aboriginal people are at with our allies, which, you know, some people would call our oppressors. And you know, to the place where we are struggling with forgiving that our languages have been lost, that our whole tribes have disappeared. We're forgiving that this bad, horrible thing happened, so that we can get on with this necessary healing, but that forgiveness is just such grace, such grace.
Could describe where you are today, Margaret, and on what is the challenging part that you're now working on for you personally?
Well, it's ongoing that the bad thing happened that really articulates beautifully for me, because I have often wondered, I haven't hit ever a point of wishing ill on Mr. Fleurigoutz. So it is forgiving that the bad thing happened. And then I have thought a lot about what would I like to see happen for with him. And I'm beginning to read a little bit, and not enough to speak about it, but about the justice system in Norway. And I think what I would like most of all would be for him to receive a grant or a scholarship to go to prison in Norway. They've really got a different outlook, and it's restorative. Yeah, just learning to live without Molly that's enough work for a lifetime.
when Margaret and I were riding over, we were speculating a little bit about how these two talks would fit together, and I'm just so amazed at how, you know, the challenge is the same, really, I think. At least that's the way it feels to me, and I'm wondering about how other people are experiencing the challenge. Greg has said he didn't expect it, but I guess what I'm wondering is, where do we as a community go from here? Where are we right now, you know, in our support for Margaret, in our support for the work that Jamie's been doing, in our own particular places in this journey? That's what I would hope that we would be looking at today for the rest of the day or whatever, and for the rest of our lives, is taking our pulse as a community.
One thing of the pain that you've gone through.
I lost my daughter in 83 in a car accident a year and a half ago. My son took his life. There's nobody I can forgive, and I can't forgive myself.
To me, it comes back again to forgiving that it happened. And I don't know that I'm in a place to talk about forgiveness yet. I don't know that I'm there. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on not wishing harm.
Takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for your losses. I find it, I like the way that's expressed, forgiving that it happened, because there's often, what hasn't happened for me has been blaming God, God can take it, so I'll just get mad at God. That hasn't been part of it at all, but that it happened, such a different way of looking at it, because we don't need anyone we don't need to be blaming as much as forgiving. I don't know if that helps at all.
Can I say something too? This work is overwhelming. It's huge, and some of the things that I have to work with at times make me feel like, oh God, how is this happening? I'm biracial, brought up in a Native American community. By the time I was 20, two people in my extended family had been murdered. And, I've had family members that have been violated in the worst of ways in a community that's racked by poverty and harm. So I have a place I go to, and this is what I'm going to share with you this morning. I'm blessed to live with my husband, who's Passamaquoddy, and I live in a beautiful part of the earth. I live in the Copscook Bay area in Maine. And right off the Passamaquoddy Bay. And at the end of my street, I run, and if I'm willing to run the 8 miles instead of the five, I'll end at this point. And this point is an area where when the tide is going in one direction, the water goes uphill in a big vortex. But then the tide, shifts,
And it either fills up and flattens out, or it drops down and becomes quiet. And then when the tide changes direction, that vortex goes in the other direction. And the water goes uphill, but the opposite direction. And I go down there and I watch the tide change. Because that's the promise that this earth has given us. That power is there. That power is there to move zillions of gallons of water and all that force and still it and change the direction. And I have to believe that that's possible in this one little spot where, you know, someday go there, and I think maybe you've seen it, Ernie. Go there and just witness it. If that's possible, you know, that what everything else is possible too. That's the thing the earth teaches us, that everything else is possible. There are rivers that run out to the sea, and at high tide, they're running out to the sea, and the water comes in on top of it. They change directions. They run in instead of out. Those are promises to us that can happen. It can happen in our communities. And one of my friends who's worked, he's an African descendant man who went to prison for sedition in the 70s. He was the first black man convicted of sedition since Dred Scott. And he said to me one day, you know, when
sedition is?
The conspiracy to overthrow the U.S. government. And he used to work with me, Kazi Touré. And one day he said, "Jamie, this is all going to work out." And I looked at him and he said, "You know how I know it?" And I said, "How, Kazi?" You know, expecting some political statement. And he goes, "The alternative is unthinkable." That promise of wholeness and healing and relationship, that's what it means to be the human being.
My name is Chris Dye. I'm with Hannibal Meeting. One of the things that is seems to be really tough is that it's awfully hard to forgive someone who doesn't take appropriate responsibility for his or her activities. So you were speaking, I don't quite see coming toward you appropriate responsibility for the grieving that has been imposed on you. But just on an individual basis, it's awfully hard to do that. And yet, as you were saying, and maybe that's what you mean about forgiving the event or forgiving the fact, you have to come to grips with it yourself. It's almost like it's two different things. It's how you come to grips with it yourself and how you come to grips with the person who inflicted this on you. It may merge, but if you can't get an operative forgiveness from the person who inflicted this on you, then it seems to me at the very least you have to go through this very tough, difficult process of just figuring out where you go from what's happened to you. I guess I'm just saying that's how I see it as kind of two parts that can become one, but not necessarily.
You know, one of the things, Margaret, you said that I think is so important is that you've noticed that the current criminal justice system doesn't do anything to really make that taking the responsibility or starting that journey to think about what I might do as a person who's broken promise with my community and done something horrible, what I might do to repair the harm. And I think that when you ask what's the work of all of us, I think that's our work. Though that needs to be built in to the system, rather than punishment, the capacity to be responsible. That's how repairing takes place. And the other thing that I thought of this morning when you were speaking, and you know, restorative justice, a lot of people say it doesn't work. It's like restoring to what? We've always been in such difficulty. And I, you know, listening to you speak, we haven't. We have inside of our memories a time when it was all good. It may be millions of years ago, where we were in right relationship with each other, and that this process is going, is that's now too. There's a, that still offered to us, and so, and sometimes somebody draws on it and reminds us that it's still there. And I want to thank you for doing that for me this morning.